Radiotopia.
You didn't hear this from me, but Normal Gossip is back for a sixth season. Join host Kelsey McKinney as she shares the juiciest gossip from the real world. Each episode, she's joined by a special guest, and you might recognize a couple this season from the Radiotopia universe. Normal Gossip, named one of the best podcasts of the year by Time Magazine and Vulture, is out now on all your favorite podcast platforms. New episodes starting April 17th.
Dear Diary.
Sixth grade.
February 14th.
1991.
I am really depressed.
How could she break up with me?
Mom, you can't read this.
My dad wasn't really around from the age of about 5. I would see my dad maybe once or twice every few years. My mom was a single mom working hard. So I know she was out in the pipelines working on the field, and that's pretty much all I know. My mom has worked in the petrochemical business since she was 18, actually, and she's been there and she's in her 50s now for the same company.
From PureX and Radiotopia, this is the Mortified Podcast. I'm Neil. Today, in honor of Mother's Day, we present the tale of an only child who grew up in the Deep South and was so close with her single mother, she emulated her right down to the way she wrote in her diary.
I wrote with the voice of a sassy 50-year-old white woman that was raised in, I feel like, rural Louisiana, except I grew up in Texas.
Despite trying her best to come off like a wise old soul, Nicole Oliver still had a lot of growing up to do.
It's weird to watch your mom date and watch your mom be a woman and not your mom. Because, you know, now I know she had needs and wants and desires, but when you're a teenager, you don't want to know that stuff. I wanted my mom just to be that, my mom.
Here's Nicole in Austin at the Spider House Ballroom.
Yay! Hey, y'all, I'm Nicole. I grew up in a small suburb outside of Houston called Galena Park, and that is weird. That was our rival. Shut up. That was mean. I grew up as an only child. My mom was a single mom and worked her ass off to provide for both of us. I was also a country bumpkin. I had a twang, and I thought it was super normal to watch college football and watch NASCAR. And I thought that was just the way it happened. When I was around 13, my mom started dating again, and I did not like that. It took all her attention off of me, and it made me really jealous. And so I did naturally what my mom did in those situations. When she got upset, I decided to talk shit and talk gossip, and I put it all in my diary. Also, I was very random and all over the place, so you're forewarned. Super country, hold on. December 4th. Gosh, my mom is getting on my nerves. I said my throat hurts, and she says it's just mucus crap and that I need to swallow. Her and Bill were watching The Negotiator. It's all right from what I saw. My mom makes me so angry. What a bitch. Oh, and I might go to Astroworld with Carissa Guerrero. Love, Nicole. December 26th. We opened presents, and I got a Furby, a clock keychain, and an inflatable chair. It was a normal Christmas. Newsflash, me and my mom had another squandrel when we were trying to blow up the inflatable chair. I will never please my mom. I wish God would let me die and I would go to his kingdom to tell him about my mom getting on my nerves. I I still love her, but you know. We had Granny, Papa, Big Papa, Uncle Wiggy, and Carissa Guerrero at Christmas. I'm listening to that Titanic soundtrack right now. Pretty powerful stuff. Love, Nicole. March 12th. Well, spank my ass and call me Charlie. Me and my mom went to the WWF show. It was pretty tight ass. We took 4 rolls of pics. We ate at Chili's. Pretty nifty, huh? I could shit twice and die. I really, really want a boyfriend. I've had so many pretend boyfriends, and I think they're even better than the real boyfriends. Ugh, I love money. I feel so sorry for my Uncle Wiggy. He's so depressed. Love, Nicole.
You can just hear what a little gossipy shit I was. And I basically just gossiped whatever my mom gossiped, so money and my Uncle Wiggy, who is her brother. So around this time in my life, my mom and my grandma got me an emergency pager. I was the only child, only grandchild, so heaven forbid anything happened to me. So this got me really thinking, what if something happened? So naturally, I wrote a will. No, my will was for my diary only. I had this thought process that if something happened to me, my diary would be the first thing that they would come looking for. For some reason, that would be like, Nicole has passed away. We need to find her diary so we can sort her business. So no one ever knew about my will, but I would literally stay up at night thinking about, oh man, should I have given that keychain collection to someone else? Will they really appreciate it?
Mom, there is so many much violence today. I've written a will. VCR to Granny and Papa. Stuffed animals on my table, Big Papa. Star lamp, Uncle Wiggy. Disco lamp, Uncle Wiggy. Keychain collection, you. Seashell chandelier, Carissa Guerrero. Inflatable chair, question mark. Love, Nicole.
It's a small will.
June 18th. Well, new news. Alina and I did really weird makeovers on each other. Her brother is so cute. Did you know she was in a car accident when she was 11? That is so sad. Her mom just made us some really good hamburgers. We drank caffeine-free Diet Dr. Pepper, which tasted just like regular Dr. Pepper. Those companies are so stupid. I just ate a grilled cheese sandwich, feeling pretty good about my diet. Oh, and did I tell you? I'm sick. It's called food poison. I just had some veggies and dip. Sarah called. She's real born, bless her heart. I went to go see the Blair Witch Project. It was fake. Country music rocks. My mom makes me so mad. Love, Nicole.
So at this time, my mom actually was getting into a serious relationship, and one of the guys she was dating moved into the house. So I was just getting more and more pissed off.
New news. Did I ever say Bill moved out? Right after my mom started dating Patrick. Sounds fishy. I love her,
but sometimes I could just stay at a La Quinta Inn. And my grandma, I'm so scared she's gonna reveal all those secrets I told her about my mom. Anyways, my mom, bitch. More in a few minutes. I have to go wash noxzema off my face. Love, Nicole. July 12th. My day has been mortifying. My mom has a new boyfriend, Rusty. I was scooting around her panty drawer, putting away clothes, and I saw something poke out of the back. I shouldn't have given in to my curiosity. But I did. And I regret it. I found condoms in my mom's panty drawer. I mean, I'm glad she's using protection. We had another fight. She is so hateful towards me. She yelled at me for being sarcastic. Then she had to walk away because she was so mad. She's a bitch. It's hard to say I love you anymore. Nicole. So my grandma actually did tell my mom everything. And that was a huge deal. My mom sat me down and told me what it was like to be a woman and talked to me very open and honestly about adult relationships. And I realized at that moment that my mom wasn't just a mom, but she was a woman. And I hated it.
I remember this clearly. We were sitting on the couch. We had these awful, like, pink salmon color walls at the house we were living in. I remember just staring at them. My mom told me her thoughts about God. She told me why she dated. She would tell me the reason she was dating was to feel more like a woman. I was almost like, God, Mom, like, why are you even telling me this? Like, I don't even want to know. This probably wasn't the reaction she was looking for, but I remember thinking, like, great, my mom's actually like a person. She's not my mom. She's more than that. So my mom's more than my mom. What does it mean?
So I went to my bedroom and I shut the door, and then I started thinking about it, and I wanted her to know how I felt. And then the most random thing actually happened. My mom got diagnosed with breast cancer.
My mom sat me down on the couch and said that she had gone to the doctor a few days prior, and she had been diagnosed with stage 3B breast cancer. And so all we did was cry. They told my mom that she might only have 5 years. And my mom, every time she went to the doctor, would think it would spread. And was just, we were kind of waiting for that to be it. And I think we felt so defeated. And we were trying so hard to be positive for one another. It was so hard. When I would have the courage to go to her room, I would lay in bed and I would hold her like she would hold me when I was a kid. And I would pet her. I would pet her non-existent hair. And I would sing the song she always sang me. And it's a stupid song about the neon lights are bright on Broadway. And then we would just lay together.
So I was so afraid that she would read this and think that's how I actually felt about her, not what was in here. So I wrote her a letter. Dear Mom, what do I say? I just reread all the mean things I said, and I didn't mean them. I love and I respect you, even though today we had a squandrel and it sucked balls. I didn't mean any of those things. They were just my feelings in the moment. I really and I truly love you. You're still my best friend. P.S. I love you, my mama. Love, Nicole.
So my mom is cancer-free. Thank you.
That was Nicole Oliver reading aloud her childhood writings with no embellishing, no exaggerating, just God-given awkwardness in Austin at the Spider House Ballroom. And now, there's more to the story as we caught up with Nicole in our postmortem, Fide. And it turns out, as much as Nicole didn't want her mother to date, she secretly prayed for her mom to find someone.
I think I really wanted a dad. I really wanted a family. I wanted the three of us. And it hurt me every time it ended. When my mom broke up with someone, I feel like maybe I did something wrong. Maybe I wasn't a good child. Maybe they didn't want to be a parent to me. I was older. I was a preteen, so I wasn't some cute little three-year-old that they could bounce up and down on their shoulders. You know, I was a raging hormonal little twat at that age. And it would piss me off sometimes. But after a few days or a few months, it would go back to normal. And it was just me and my mom against the world.
That might sound like hyperbole. But looking back on her childhood, Nicole has come to see her mother as nothing short of heroic.
You know, my mom's a mom that cancels plans with her friends because I want to go see Jurassic Park for the first time in the theater. So instead of going out with her friend weekend, she's going to take her daughter to go see a movie. I mean, that's what my mom does. I felt like I just never gave her the credit she deserved for all the sacrifices she made for me.
So not only did Nicole's mom raise a daughter by herself and hold down a career in a male-dominated industry, but she also beat stage 3 breast cancer. And so what's her reward for all of that? A chance to finally turn the tables on her daughter.
My mom got remarried to my stepdad about 4 years ago, I believe now. They met, actually, I didn't even really know about him until they had been dating for a little bit. She's like, well, I wasn't going to tell you anything until it became serious. My mom's a teenager now. And I'm like, Mom, I need to know these things.
And not only did her mother get married, but so did Nicole. In fact, listeners of this podcast might even recognize her husband's voice.
Diary of Simon McSimmons.
That's Jason Oliver, who in high school kept a journal as if he were the king of Scotland.
I did not know anything about the Scottish prince until I heard his mortified piece. I knew his family had gone to Scotland, but I never knew anything about this. You know what's funny is I did remember seeing the name Simon McSimmons in like journals or something, and I'd be like, oh, I guess that's like his pen name, like a writer's name. But I didn't realize it was like this high school alias. Being married to a Scottish king makes me feel like Austin royalty.
Before we let Nicole go, we wondered if she had a special message for her mom on this Mother's Day.
If my mom listens to this, which I know she will, I would want her to know this. That if I can even be an ounce of her in my lifetime, that I've accomplished something. She showed me that you can be smart and independent. You can still be vulnerable. My mom's the strongest person I know. But more than that, she showed me that it doesn't matter what you go through in life. It's not an excuse. You don't let that change who you are. And I'm so grateful for that. And I'm such in a cryy mess right now. Ugh. Jeez Louise.
And now, as we sign off, we have one last Mother's Day present to all the moms out there who raised us. Mortified producers from all across the globe would like to take this moment to apologize for all the ways we terrorized our mothers when we were kids.
This is Katie Moore. I produce Mortified in Austin. And Mom, I just want to apologize for throwing a tantrum at the outlet mall when you wouldn't buy me a Tommy Hilfiger t-shirt dress.
This is Kira Gillen. I produce Mortified here in Dublin, Ireland. And Mom, I just want to apologize for that time when I was 3 years old and we were in the supermarket and I was demanding sweets and you said no, and so I bit you on the leg.
Hi, this is Amanda Zwierink. I'm the producer for Mortified Twin Cities. Mom, I just want to apologize for all those times I screamed, I hate you, and then slammed my bedroom door and listened to Toad the Wet Sprocket on repeat for hours and hours and hours.
Hi, this is Hannah Rogers. I produce Mortified in London. And Mom, I want to apologize for using the money you gave me for a haircut to go out and buy my first ever bottle of rum and go to my first ever drum and bass rave.
This is Alex Hewitt. I produce Mortified in Baltimore and DC. And Mom, I just want to apologize for that time I locked you out of the house on purpose and sat in the kitchen and watched you climb up and crawl in through the kitchen window.
Hi, this is Sarah Faith Alterman and I produce Mortified in New England. Mom, I just want to say I'm really sorry that when I was 16, I stole the bottle of vodka that you used to make homemade vanilla extract, took it to a birthday party, and then threw up in your garden the next morning.
This is Shay DeGrandis. I produce Mortified in Chicago. And Mom, I just want to apologize for moving in with my boyfriend when I was 18 on Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, everyone!
To share the shame, follow us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit getmortified.com to learn about Mortified stage shows, books, films, and beyond. Click participate, and who knows, maybe you'll appear on a future episode of this series. As many of you know, the Mortified podcast is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, which is made possible with support from the Knight Foundation and MailChimp, who celebrate creativity, chaos, and teamwork. Our podcast production team for this episode includes Kathy Tu, Pierce Priscelli, Dave Nadelberg, and myself, Neil Katcher. Pierce Priscelli story produced this for the stage. Music by Gordon Bash, Alex Burke, Adam Smith, The Angel, Zoe Rose Palladino, and Snake, Snake, Snakes. Additional thanks to Lance Roberts Studios, Will Dwyer, Aparna Kumar, Tamar Avashai, Eric Bass, Sasha Waldron, and all the dedicated Mortified Live producers whose work make the stage show possible. Until next time, we remind you that we are freaks, we are fragile, and we all survived.